Wednesday, July 1st, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today on the program, we're in the book of Psalms. We're taking a look at Psalm 139 with a message titled, Knowing God.
It's a sense of emptiness that marks our age, a sense of being alone through this life. And the irony is, it's an aloneness that we often choose. Isn't it something with so much resource? We want meaning. We want love. We want happiness. We want purpose. We want to understand all this. We want to know that somebody in this life really loves us and really cares about us in the superficial age in which we live.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
I invite you to turn this morning with me to Psalm 139. This is our sort of essential Bible text series, and we're doing a two-part. Psalm 139, as last time we looked at Uzzah touching the ark, really this helps us in our study really of knowing God and the attributes of God. And this morning we'll be looking at some of those from this psalm. Page 618 in the Bible that is in front of you, Psalm 139. To the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. Well, we are living in one of the most anxiety-filled ages, it seems to me, that I can recall, some might say ever. I'm sure if we survey those gathered today, all of you struggle in many ways at times, in different ways, with worry and with fear and disappointment and maybe just confusion about life, confusion about this whole thing that leads to moments of despair or even depression. Part of that might have something to do with the fact that we have never lived in an information age like ours. Constantly streamed to us, just all the time streamed to us, are the worst reports. And we carry this stuff around in our pockets. Every evil happening under the sun from all over the world is beamed in, Scotty, to your phone. I watch Star Wars. At any point in the world, it's constantly coming. Are we made to take all this in like this? I don't think we're constructed to manage it. I don't think we're able to handle it. It takes a serious discipline to know how to manage yourself with all this. Because it leaves people constantly in a state of anxiety and worry all the time. We know this is what it does. They know this is what it does to you. They know it's how to keep you with this stuff. They know how to drive your life with this stuff. We don't realize how much carrying around the devices affects the mind and the heart. But even more so, that's one factor, I suppose. It's the sense of aloneness that marks our age. It's the sense of emptiness that marks our age. The sense of being alone through this life. And the irony is, it's an aloneness that we often choose. Isn't it something with so much resource? You know, having running water is quite a thing in your homes. You ever stop and think about that? Toilets, washing machines, so much convenience, and yet so much anxiety. The result has been that we're always looking for a way of escape. We just want to escape for a time. That's why I say get outside, hike a mountain. It's good for you. We want meaning. We want love. We want happiness. We want purpose. We want to understand all this. We want to know that somebody in this life really loves us and really cares about us in the superficial age in which we live. And, well, voila, do I have a song for you today. If last week I made the statement that God is certainly good, but he is not safe, when the touching of the ark, that should have stuck with you, it wasn't a complete statement. I didn't intend it to be. It was a statement to draw out the kind of reverence and awe for God that should be there. But let me be clear that what this psalm is describing is safety in Christ. And you need that more than ever, I think, in this age. This is the psalm for this age. This is a help to you in this age. And with that, I want you here today with me to know your God more. That's the intent of this, to understand him. And that's what Psalm 139 is doing for you. It's a psalm, in this psalm, which is remarkable, it's so tender and confident and sweet. It's a beautiful psalm. It's something in life, though, at least that had driven David to these thoughts. And by the inspiration of the Spirit, to record these thoughts, because something great had failed him. And you could go through life, his life, and study in Samuel, and you could look at his life and think what that might be. Maybe it was his son Absalom turning on him and dying. Imagine that. Maybe it was just the sense of overwhelming failure due to his sin. Maybe it was a sense that everyone around him, he just didn't seem like he could trust. He had so many enemies. That's what he describes constantly in the Psalter. And it seems to me that Psalm 139 describes where he found an answer to this form of emptiness and loneliness and depression that he experienced in life. Is there anyone who truly cares in this life? Is there anyone who doesn't fail in this life? And he expresses this in Psalm 139. The circumstance has caused him to reflect and ask the great question. This is what I think we have to do again, is begin to ask questions, the right kind of questions in life to have any kind of meaning of life, is the question of where is the true source of safety? Where is the true source of stability in this life? What is stable? Who is the one who will never fail? And David here is, to get to the answer to these questions, he's thinking a lot about what we call the attributes of God, the very important qualities that are revealed of him in his word. And this is always a solution. When we have certainty of his greatness and his goodness, it does have the real effect of pulling us out of often the sorrows that we have faced in this life. For we have here described the very love of the Creator of heaven and earth. Let's look at this beautiful psalm, first part this morning. Three attributes are here highlighted of God. The psalmist praises him. David praises him for his, number one, omniscience, and then his omnipresence, and then his omnipotence. Third one we'll really zero in on next week. And he describes what life should be in response to this truth. And I think it you can make the case that in our age of, as I said last time, a mile-wide Christianity, an inch deep, of really no knowledge of God, has produced the anxiety that often comes. People do not know him. And it was our Lord who said that what he delights in this life is not those who have great wealth and this and that and all the things we're often pursuing. He said that we would know him, said Jeremiah. He takes delight in these. Do you know him? Whatever he is about to say in the study of God, David has an application at the end. And the great application to this psalm at the end, after relishing in these thoughts of God, is that then, O Lord, that you would, since I know these things about you, lead me in the way everlasting. Lead my life. Guide my life. To a life that is actually meaningful. To a life that is fulfilled. To a life that has real purpose. You won't be able to walk that until you know him. Now, let's look at verse 1. Beautiful psalm begins. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. He is caught up in this thought of God. And it's something about God, and it's a quality about God, something about God in his greatness, and this quality of God that mesmerized David is that he is all-knowing. Now, we don't know very much. But here we call this his great omniscience, that he knows everything. And it was this power that thrilled David. This power that thrilled David, this quality, this attribute. What overwhelmed him was that God knows everything about him exhaustively. There is nothing about him that God did not know. And you think about the greatness of God, how many people exist. Think about how great that knowledge is. You can't even fathom it. And so you notice what he does. You've searched me. You know me. What does God know about us? What does he know about you? And he categorizes it here beautifully in three ways. He says, every path that I take, every single thought that I have ever made, every word that I have ever spoken, you know it all together. Notice verse 2, you know my sitting down and my rising up. Everything that I've ever done in life, you know. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path, my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word on my tongue. Oh Lord, you know it all together. Do you ever feel like you don't even know who you are? You really don't even know who you are. You've yet to figure that out. There's something unique about every single one of you created in the image of God. I'm so glad we all don't look alike. This would be no fun. He formed you. Every one of you has your own unique. You're your own unique person. made in the image of God. And how we live and what we do and the words that we think and how we function and how we're made, how we're constructed, the way we are, that nobody else understands about us and that we don't even understand. Ever feel no one understands you? The psalmist is, David is taken by this thought, the Lord knows every bit of me. Intensely, personally, individually. God knows every matter of your heart, every thought that has come into your mind, every little word that you've ever spoken to anyone, every desire, every bit of your personality, every bit of the neighbor sitting next to you. He knows it all. None of it escapes him. None of it gets past him. Not one thing in everyday life he will forget. David feels someone truly knows him. Now, I think you have to approach this and ask sort of a question. As some of you are looking very intently about at me, thinking, is that a good thing? That's the question the psalm's pushing you to. Is that a good thing? Oh, see, why? Why do I ask that question? Because you hide your life. We are the last people. You are the last one to want to open up your life to anyone. You do not want to tell your problems to anyone. You don't want people to really know what's going on in there. Come here today well-dressed. But this is the very place. You don't want to know, let people know what's really going on in that heart. What you're thinking. Privacy is your pursuit because you want to escape all this stuff. We're often hiding precisely because there is an emptiness in us we want nobody to know about. What David is describing here is the thing that will most set you free in this life, by the way. How could he find the attribute of God's omniscience to be the most comforting and wonderful truth that he could sing about? It's good to sing these truths. God knows everything about you. And there's only one way to explain that. It's because David came, and this is so important for us, to a place. It wasn't always the case in his life. David came to a place of certainty that this knowledge of God meant that he could never hide his life from the one to whom it matters. You see, it's one thing to hide one's life and live in rebellion and live in unrepentant sin and then put on the suit. That's hypocrisy. I would think that if that's the case, these are the most terrible words in all of the Bible, right? Because you have no privacy. There is nothing of your life that is private. And David tried that. David tried that path and found out that with this knowledge, when he made his choices in life and he tried to run and he tried to do his thing and ended up in terrible sins of adultery and murder, that what he found was, even then, he didn't escape. You read the psalm of his repentance. He said, all those days, every bit of those days, listen to the statement, the Lord's heavy hand of chastisement was upon me. He didn't let him rest. Now, I don't know if any of you are there. It's not a fun place to be. You're running and you can't. Well, this is exactly what David described in the psalm. But what this psalm describes is that this knowledge became the most wonderful and safest truth to him. Not only can you not hide from your Creator, but how could you get to a place where this knowledge, which includes a knowledge of the wickedness of the human heart, be a place of safety? And it's because there's something that the Lord describes all over the scriptures for his people, something for you today that you have to cling through throughout the whole course of your life. And it is indeed this great truth that is given in various ways and described in various ways, that he hides us in himself. That you're hid in the cleft of the rock. That he dresses you with rich robes of righteousness. That he covers your shame. It was David who would say in the psalm, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered." Covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. And you see, that's the place of happiness we all must come. The Lord is a shield for you. That what can actually be enjoyed and celebrated in this life, which is a life of true happiness, by the way, which is a life of true fulfillment, since everyone wants that, is that God's knowledge of us is only used because he's covered us to uphold us, to strengthen us, to help us, to encourage us, to bless us, to lead us, as this psalm talks about. Precisely because we have a certainty in this life. You've come to a place of certainty that he is for you and not against you. Now, I don't for a minute think everyone lives this way. I don't for a minute think in this room that it's just full of people who just automatically live this way. Well, it means that his knowledge is no longer a weapon. And this lets your guard down. This allows the truth to come out in your inward parts, as David would say. You see, many of us have to come here. We hide our lives, and it's a fool's errand to begin with. When this kind of safety is understood, because you know that God is for you and loves you, what can man do to you? Right? If God is for us, who can be against us? And that's what opens up life. It's beautiful in verse 5. Did you notice? He hedged him in behind and before. I want you to think of your life this way because this is how the scriptures describe it as believers in Christ. You know that this was exactly what Satan realized about Job in all of his afflictions? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for no reason?" Oh, he's not fearing you for just any reason. He knows exactly why he fears you, because you do all this good to him. Here's what he says. "Have you not put a head in your own?"
That's all the time we have for you today. We thank you for joining us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Be sure to tune in next time for part 2 of this message from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Until next time, God bless.